Welcome to my library.
Dead Reckoning, review by Romy Nelson. As the latest Sookie Stackhouse novel, Dead Reckoning, begins, we see Sookie dealing with more of the same, intense violence and drama. It starts off with Merlot's bar being firebombed during Sookie's shift, of course. I get a bit exhausted for Sookie. There's always someone or some things out to get her. Throughout Book 11, there are constant threats from different sources, and Sookie is on high alert most of the novel. Sookie still struggles with being a good person, for her world is continually violent and evil visits her seemingly day in and day out. In Reckoning, we don't see her grow much as a character, as she doesn't have time to do much of anything except try to stay alive. The first threat is the reappearance of Sandra Pelt and her attempt, again, to revisit vengeance upon Sookie for the death of her sister. The second threat also evolves from a previous plot line, the vamp politics story from Book 10, Dead in the Family. Victor, a nefarious vampire managing Louisiana for Felipe, is working to destroy Eric's business enterprises. Victor is quite evil, and his threat reaches out to affect many others, soups and non-soups alike. It would have been a nice change for Sookie to solve a mystery that didn't involve her directly. Sometimes it seems the entire soup world revolves around her. Vampire Pam is much more serious in this book, due to the fact that her new love interest is gravely ill. Pam and Eric are at odds about Pam turning the girlfriend, while she and Eric are constantly fighting as they deal with Victor's obvious bid to destroy Eric's life and businesses, including Fangtasia. The sexual connection with Eric in this book is a bit lacking. There just isn't time, as Sookie is dealing with too many threats and her fairy cousins Claude and Dermont living with her. There isn't much room to breathe, with multiple plot lines and various characters keeping her busy. An exciting plot line involves Sookie and Eric, where Sookie's presented with an opportunity to sever the blood bond, courtesy of her witch friend Amelia. Sookie can't help but wonder, will she still love Eric without the blood bond? Bill does appear to have a role in this novel, but Harris continues to disengage the connection further between Sookie and Bill as we feel a solid friendship continue to develop, replacing their past relationship as lovers. Sookie once again has a special supernatural event, quote, to attend, an opportunity for her once again to dress to the nines. Here Harris incorporates many new vamp and human characters into one room, in which you see an unprecedented cooperation for a larger goal to create, as always, a consummate bloodbath. Despite this scene, it was a refreshing change to see Sookie not get tortured, bitten, clawed, or staked within an inch of her life. Perhaps the most interesting aspect of this novel was a deepening of the storyline regarding Sookie's fairy lineage and her telepathic abilities. In a sense, there is a reckoning, as Sookie learns more about her grandmother's relationship with her fairy grandfather and a mysterious object of fairy magic. While Dermot and Claude, her fairy cousins, are living with her, Dermot becomes quite likable, but Claude remains aloof and self-centered. My favorite plotline was the return of attorney and demon Desmond Calidaes, and an interesting twist involving Gran. Sookie does manage somehow to deepen her friendship with Sam in the midst of all the threats and violence, lessons in family, fairy history, and vamp politics. Overall, a good read, though I do hope Harris gives Sookie a bit of a break to live her life and work on her tan in Book 12. The poor girl needs a respite.